What if the Sonics came back to Seattle, not in a brand new shiny Soto Stadium, but in good old Key Arena in Seattle Center? Here to explain, Seattle Times reporter Jeff Baker. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Good to see you.
Great to be back.
I thought Key Arena was small and shabby, and a billionaire is going to build a glitzy new one in Soto. Why are we talking about Key Arena?
Well, it is small and shabby, but the idea is to make it a lot nicer than it is right now. The reason they're looking to build added is because the city's been trying to build an arena in Soto District for the last several years. No teams have come, and so we're kind of at an impasse with that. And in the meantime, the deal that they had with the developer down in Soto District, Chris Hansen, is about to expire in December of this year. And if no teams were to come, he would have to rip up the old agreement, and that would be it. And so because they're doing that, they're now able to take a look at other locations around the city, which they haven't been able to do during the 5 years they've had this deal with Hansen. Now that it's about to end, he's given permission to look at other deals, and that's what they're doing. And all of a sudden, these deals are multiplying at Key Arena because it hasn't been an open process up till now.
And there are companies coming to Seattle and saying, we'll pay for it, privately funded, spruce up Key Arena.
Not just companies. We're talking about the biggest arena companies in the world. AEG, Anschutz Entertainment Group, which manages the marketing at Key Arena right now, and the Oakview Group, which is run by Tim Leiwicki, who used to run AEG, and by Irving Azoff, who's one of the biggest names in the concert music promotions universe.
Uh-huh.
And so you got two of the heaviest hitters in the business that want to come here, and they say they'll do it with private funds. Of course, they're going to get something out of it. They'll probably get tax breaks. They'll probably get one thing or the other. Nothing's ever free in this universe, but the construction would be, the city's asking for 100% private construction, and they're saying they're ready to do that.
And why would a company pay to rehab Key Arena without knowing for sure that the NBA is going to create a new team that would come here?
Because the people that are going to do that, the two companies I've just mentioned, are ready to build it as a standalone facility that would host concerts, events, big-time music. That's one thing this city lacks right now. I mean, they have Key Arena for concerts, and it's okay, but it's not...
CenturyLink Field?
Yeah, CenturyLink Field. Safeco Field's actually my favorite place to see a concert. I've seen a couple of them there already. And I've got to say that Seattle lacks the indoor, 15,000 to 20,000 seat arena, that state-of-the-art that you see in other markets. And both of these companies feel that there is a definite market for that in this city. And they're ready to build it just for that alone. And if NBA, NHL comes, they're ready to adapt it for that. It'll be adaptable for both leagues.
Wow, there's that much more of a concert opportunity? Kanye West was at Key Arena. Ariana Grande's coming. I feel like they get big names.
They get some big names, sure, but there's also other big names that bypass this city and go elsewhere. U2 pops into my head. I had to drive up to Vancouver to go see them play a few years
U2's
back.
U2's playing Key Arena instead of CenturyLink or Safeco?
No, U2 was playing Vancouver.
I know, but they would if it was nicer?
They might. I can't speak for Bono. I haven't talked to him in a couple of days, but I would assume that they would give this a bigger consideration.
All right. Well, just text him, would you, and let me know before this interview's over. But okay, here's what I want to know now, Seattle Times reporter Jeff Baker. Why would you add Sonics traffic to Seattle Center? Have you driven anywhere near South Lake Union lately?
I drive by it every single day, and I know all about the traffic that's there. I also drive by a lot of other places in this city. I covered the Seattle Mariners for 8 years, and I had to drive to Soto every single day when I was here, and I had to drive by it when I was on my way to Mariners road trips on the road. I had to drive by the Soto District, and I can tell you the traffic's pretty horrendous there when you have games. The traffic's horrible all over this city, and there's going to be more people coming in. It's going to get worse as
Expedia is coming to Inner
Expedia's
Bay,
coming
not far
right
away.
To my, right to my neighborhood right now. That's where I live, the Inner Bay area, and I can tell you the traffic's already bad there. So, I mean, there's going to have to be traffic solutions. Clearly, they can't just open up a brand new arena, Key Arena, without that. That's one of the major things the city's asking for in these requests for proposals to renovate, which were issued yesterday. Transportation has to be figured out. Is it going to be solved entirely? No, unless they have like the biggest genius in the history of traffic solution, it's not going to be perfectly solved, but they have to make it a better arrangement than there is right now over there. And that's up to people a lot smarter than me to come up with. And if they can't do that, the people involved with this themselves say they're not going to go ahead with it. So we'll see. We'll see whether they can get it done.
I just can't imagine, except for teleporting tens of thousands of people, how you quote unquote solve. I mean, just much road.
I'll tell you what, I asked the president of AEG, Bob Newman, yesterday. I asked him that very question. And he told me, look, we've done projects all over the world. And you know what? I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Montreal. I've lived in Toronto. I've traveled the entire, I've been to almost every big city in North America And spent extensive time in all of them covering Major League Baseball for 16 years. I can tell you, we're not the only city in the world that's ever had traffic issues. Every big city in the world deals with the same thing. When they build a new sports facility, when they build a new arena, there are always traffic issues that have to be worked out. And Bob Newman of AEG reminded me of that yesterday, that I was kind of thinking a little too myopically living here in Seattle, thinking we're the only people in the universe that invented traffic trouble. And that's not the truth. I mean, people... When there's a will, there's a way, and if you want to find a solution, you're going to find a solution. And if they can't find a solution here and there's a better offer in Soto District, the city will go with Soto's arena plan. That's pretty much all there is to it. I doubt that the city's going to deliberately tie itself up and paralyze itself in gridlock for decades to come, you know, without trying to find alternatives. And if they do, there'll be people that have to pay for it. You know, and I mean really pay, not with money, but pay for it with reputations, with all the other nasty stuff that comes with that, but they have to find a solution.
Do you think Sonics fans really care whether the team is in Soto or Key Arena?
I do not believe that the vast majority of them really care. There's a very vocal subset of fans out there, not just Sonics fans, but sports fans, that I think have been so accustomed to having it drilled into their head over the last 5 years that Soto is the only option, that there's no other possibilities in this city, that nobody would come here and pay for a Key Arena renovation. All of those ideas have been debunked, by the way, since the city opened up the process. It was a closed process before, but I think over the last 3 or 4 years, they've been so conditioned to think that Soto is the only option that a lot of them, this vocal segment doesn't want to believe it, and they only think that the city should really hand the deal to Chris Hansen right now in Soto District because there is no other way. It's impossible. But meanwhile, you've got these corporations worth billions of dollars telling you that it is possible, and they're willing to spend seven figures and higher to study it and figure out solutions for it. So, you know, me not being an expert in this thing, and I doubt many of that small subset of fans are expert in this thing, I would just caution them to let the process play itself out for a few more months, and you'll have your questions answered. See which the better site is, and if Key Arena's better, go with that. If Soto's better, go with that.
What does the NBA prefer? I thought leagues want sports palaces.
Well, you see, that's another misnomer that's been allowed to fester here in Seattle for the last 4 or 5 years, that the leagues don't want these kinds of things. It's not true. It's totally not true. The trend, the new trend in arena building around the country in both the NBA and the NHL has been towards the facilities that are actually there, the inside amenities for fans, amenities in technology, in Wi-Fi, in food and beverage, in comfort, luxury seating, premium seating. It's all about the experience. And
so small is okay.
Small is okay. It's not...
But nifty.
The word they use is intimate.
Intimate.
It's creating more intimacy. And
because that's what a Sonics game is. It's intimate.
Well, I grew up in Montreal where they built the biggest, and I covered the opening of it. The biggest arena in professional hockey is in Montreal, the Bell Center, 21,000 seats. And I covered that opening 20 years ago. That was the trend 20 years ago. Uh-huh. Bigger is better. Cram as many, you know, butts into seats as you possibly can. Make as much money as you can for the owners. Nowadays, with big screen TVs, people want to stay home and watch their sports on television. They don't want to go and freeze and trouble themselves with parking and walk all around and squish into seats. They want to stay home. And so how do you make the experience better at the arena to get them into the arena is now the big concern in sports business. I'd say going back the last probably 3 to 5 years, that trend has been emerging. It doesn't mean...
But why not make it fancier and have lots more seats? Well, then everybody's happy and you're making more money, right?
Because when you make it a little bit smaller, you give the fans better sight lines.
Okay.
You give the fans better access to services, better access to things. And yes,
okay.
I've asked Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, I asked him directly what his opinion of a Key Arena remodel would be. He says he's open to it, and he says remodels can be just as good as new buildings with the new technology that's out there today.
We just have a minute. The roof seems to be a big deal. The Key Arena roof has to stay intact?
Well,
what's the big deal about the roof?
Anything over 50 years old in this city gets consideration for historical landmark status. And the people that work for the city have determined that Key Arena and itself, and largely because of the roof, meets all 6 criteria for that. It would have to go in front of a panel. But the thinking within the city is that in all likelihood, it will be designated as historical. And so any attempts to renovate it will have to keep the spine intact and the roof intact, the integrity of the structure intact. You can't just knock it down and start all over again. And the roof's a big part of that designation because it was, you know, designed by Paul Theury, who's a pretty famous architect in these parts. And that's what has to be done. So they're telling anybody any plan has to involve interior renovation, keeping the roof intact, the spine intact. You can present a separate plan for demolition, but that's only if, you know, the city is surprised and somebody says, no, it's not a historical landmark.
Wow. That's a very important roof. I didn't realize. Finally, you are a sports guy. The Seahawks play the Falcons this weekend. Will their dreams die in Atlanta just like the Huskies' dreams did?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it will at this point. The Detroit team that they played looked like they were at the end of their rope last weekend, whereas the Falcons have been rested up for a couple of weeks. The Seahawks have to get their running game going. And you know, it's questionable whether they can, because they got to keep Matt Ryan off the field. They can't have the Falcons' offense on there, because the Seahawks won't be able to score enough points to keep up if that happens.
I like the honest answer. That was not a homer answer.
It's not a homer. I don't think it's going to happen.
That's a Seattle Times reporter, Jeff Baker, answer. Always good to see you, Jeff. Thanks for filling us in on this.
Hey, great for thanks for inviting me.
Always a pleasure to see you. KUW is the record, live tweeting at KUW.